everything is like becoming useless. Then you start to lose a lot of things. As you get old, you will lose your job. You will lose your youth. You will lose your health. You will lose a lot of things. Your hearing, your sight, they will become less and less usable. They will not be like before. Then as you age, you may become like senile. They call it, you lose memory and all those things. Then you can also go through a lot of what they call suffering that comes with old age. You will witness a lot of separation through death of loved ones. Separation of whatever you think you own, you hold on to, your wealth, your possession, your business, your reputation, everything. Then you start to like develop a lot of wrinkles. You become very weak. Then you succumb to a lot of sickness. Then all these sickness, when they arise, it can be very traumatic. It can bring about a lot of suffering, misery. And finally, the ultimate death, you have to confront them. So the Buddha realized, if this is going to happen to me, then what he has been given has got no meaning. He immediately knew, I have a problem. That's why he went out in search for the answer to old age, sickness and death and separation. And because of that, after 6 years, he couldn't find the answer. After even developing all the fantastic meditation, the jhanas, the mind state, the psychic, the ability to do many, many things. And yet he knew he has not developed the understanding to go beyond old age, sickness and death. Not until that night, underneath the Bodhi tree, when he meditated and became the fully enlightened one, then he realized this form and mind, this so-called human being, was never him. That's why he got no more problem. Then this one is karmically conditioned for him to use to live life. Just like a tool and a vehicle to take you around. Then you use it. You don't have to worry about you getting old, getting sick and die, because this one is never you. That's why he liberates his mind. Then the mind enters cessation. And when the mind enters cessation, he realized, he know you, he know me. No one die, no one born, no one sick, no one old. That's why that realization transformed his understanding. Then he proclaimed that he is the fully enlightened one. Then he recalled, because he inherited all his past perfection and cultivation. Then he recalled how he became what he is. The 10 perfection, the aeons and aeons of cultivation and practices. That's how he was able to relate all this. Because this was his vow to come to this world, this universe, to share this understanding with people. Hey, come, yeah. Tammy and Mother. We are early, yeah? We haven't started, don't worry. We are just having some sharing because of some condition. So because of that, the Buddha, he realized something that is so profound, that is so beyond what living being can understand. That's why his teaching is very unique. He talked about non-self. He never said there is no self. Understand? You must see the difference. No self and non-self. That's why the two extremes are atta, which is self, and attaniya, which is no self. What he teaches is the middle path. He said there is such a thing as a human being, but this is not you. That's why it's non-self. So non-self is different from no self. No self means nothing. There is nothing. But non-self means there is something, but it's not you. That's why there is such thing as a form of mind. Human being, this segmented life that you come with. But this is not you. That is non-self. Means this one is related to your existence. Karmically conditional. But it's not you. That's why this one is non-self. Not no-self. Then the other one is the egoic mind that grabs and clings onto the self, thinking that this is you. That is self-delusion, sakayaditi. That is atta. That's why atta and attaniya, no self. But anatta is in between, non-self. A lot of people cannot understand. Why the Buddha say no self? The Buddha never say no self. He said non-self. This is not self. Because the other two are extreme, that are not appropriate to the situation and the condition. There is such thing as life, there is such thing as a human being, but it is not a permanent unchanging entity that you can hold on to, cling on to and grasp onto and say this is me, this is I. Where is condition arising in a continuous state of flux like what I explained just now. So how can thing that is subject to change, subject to condition, be owned by anybody? Because whenever there is the condition only, it arises. When condition continue to sustain, it exists. When condition cease to be, it cease to be. And that one is not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it's non-self. It's not self. And you cannot try to own it, grasp onto it, cling onto it, and want to own and possess it. Cannot. That's why it goes the way of nature. That's why this one will get old, be diseased, and one day die. Because this one goes the way of nature. It's only element. Consciousness is the same. They are also conditioned arising entity, not you. That's why the aggregate of feeling, perception, sankhara, activity of mind, mental states and consciousness, they are all not you. And you have to meditate until you understand all this. The whole teaching is actually very simple, but it's very difficult to penetrate because living being has a lot of delusion, self-delusion, sakayaditi. They grasp and cling on to this fine aggregate of form and mind, thinking that this is what they are. Because how can it not be when it appears so real to you? Everything is like so real. Everything you come to experience in this world is so real. You can have feeling, emotion. You can have the taste consciousness to eat good food and other things. You can also have the tactile consciousness to experience all the various state of mind. And everything that you come to perceive in this world is like so real to you. Your emotion, your anger, your fear, your like and dislike, your mental states. Even when you meditate, you can develop the inner peace, inner calmness, the inner tranquility and stillness. You feel so good. And that happiness, that joy, that bliss, that lead to all the various beautiful mind states, to you is like so real, and you long for it to be repeated. But no matter how, you realize they are conditioned arising, causal phenomena, they never last. No matter how blissful, it will come to pass. Even suffering, no matter how miserable, it will come to pass. So all these are the important penetrated Dhamma understanding that you have to develop and cultivate. That's why the three universal characteristics are impermanent, suffering state, and non-self, or empty nature or existence. You have to penetrate. That's why the book, based on the talk I gave in Klang, Emptiness, the title is very, very important. And also the green book, Who Are You, What Are You? These two you combine, you will have complete clear understanding. And this is what the essential Dhamma is all about. And later on, you all should rejoice and thank Paramasri and Brother Teo. They came out with this beautiful idea of the 10 essential Dhamma you see at the back. They just wrote to me 2-3 days back. Then I edited it a bit. Then I say, okay, you can print it. They're supposed to laminate, but I think they don't have the time. So they stick on the wall first. So tonight there is good condition for us to share this essential Dhamma. Just like what I explained just now before we start to Susan and Michael Lu. This essential Dhamma are the thing that I teach during the early years. Because just like what Sakyamuni knew, you need to penetrate this essential Dhamma and link them up because they are all interconnected. Then when you understand them, you cultivate the understanding, you progress very fast. But I realize most of you came later, especially the Klang group. You all came much later. So as you come in, I already using all these essential Dhamma terms quite often. But like Susan also came to know, I repeat them many times. You may think I repeat. I never actually repeat anything. Well, I can never repeat anything. But I use the same essential Dhamma to teach over and over again. But I approach it from different angle and different condition and different understanding. So if you listen, just like later on, initially Brother Sui An, Mi Feng Deo, and even Yun Chan also, they taught the same. He said, why is Brother Teo keep on repeating the Four Noble Truths, the Three Turning, the Five Hindrance, the Five Spiritual Faculty, Dhammapada verse, all those things. Then the advice of the Buddha. Then they came to realize for the last 6 to 7 years of my teaching, the Thursday class and the Tuesday class, especially Thursday class, I only focus on the few essential Dhamma. And these are the core teaching that you need to penetrate. And actually nothing is apart from them because they all spin off from the Four Noble Truths. So all these are very important understanding. Then like Brother Suyan, they all, Mi Feng, they all, they realize, even Mimi, they all, and later on many Kayamita, they realize actually, Brother Teo is not repeating. Yeah, he knew it hasn't gone in. That's why it has to be re-emphasized and re-taught in different way, coming from different angle, different approaches, because the Dhamma is very difficult to comprehend. Its meaning is so deep. Words alone cannot describe the truth. And it is not a rigid thing. So when you are able to actually interpenetrate and interconnect them, then you are able to share them from different angles. It brings forth the understanding. And over time, it starts to stabilize. Then one thing you will come to realize is, you may think you already understand or understood, or you think the Dhamma already stabilized. But later on, when the condition is such that people are ready, another type of understanding arises. But actually all these were taught simultaneously. Because during the early day, when you are not ready, when you don't have the experience and the cultivation and the stability or understanding, you cannot capture the deeper meaning of the Dhamma share. Hey, come, Shilin. Yeah, come, join us. We haven't started. This is just our preliminary sharing. You can join us. Can sit anywhere. Later on, if your wife need the Dhamma book, they are all there. In the tray, she can collect them. The Heart Sutta, the meditation book, the seminar paper. We are coming out with another book. Emptiness. That one is very good. Okay, now I go back to just now where we are. Like I said, later on you will come to understand that even though it sounds like a lot of the essential Dhamma has been repeated, but if you listen attentively, every time you listen and you straighten your view and you stabilize your understanding, then you realize within the same sharing, there is a lot more deeper meaning and deeper Dhamma that can be understood. That's why after you listen, cultivate, develop the understanding, you go back and reread the book, then you start to have a lot of joy. Suddenly you start to understand all those words that last time you never understood. Or you understand very superficially. Then the great meaning, the deep meaning, the penetrative Dhamma stand up. Then you reflect, contemplate. There will be so much joy. Then many months later, after you again progress, you listen again, you read again. Again it's different. Because that sharing is for all level or understanding, not only living being, human being, those higher beings. So all this understanding, they are there. But for the kilometers or the living being, when the condition is different, when you all start to progress, when your understanding starts to stabilize, the condition will arise for different teaching to come about. That's why some of the higher teaching, they only come out later. So last 2 years has been phenomenal. A lot of things happened and many of you progressed, benefited in many, many ways. Actually last year before it happened, my nature knew. That's why I told a lot of the Kayanamita, I said, at the end of 2013, I remember. I said, next year, 2014, after our gathering of Kayanamita, which coincided with my birthday, I say the Kayanamita, the Dhamma will flourish within the Kayanamita, and that year really fantastic. 2014. It started off with the retreat in Cameron. And before that also, it happened. But after that, it became a lot faster. Then this year, the beginning of the year, also very strange. All of a sudden, the condition for the higher teaching came about. They requested, many of the Kayamita wrote to me and requested the understanding of walking the Bodhisattva way to become a Sammasambuddha. Some of them, they wrote, in the past, they never dare to even think of going that way because they realize no way. But now, very strangely, the condition has arisen and there is this calling inside that want to understand. Then we started off the year beautifully by having the first sharing on the Bodhisattva way. But that one was not official, requested by a few Kayanamita. I remember Padmasuri requested it. That's why we should rejoice with their wholesomeness. We say sadhu, 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 sadhu. And also today, we would like to thank Brother Teo, Padmasuri, and the whole family for inviting us or Kayanamita to come over to the house Dana. Many of us, we had the great fortune of even having a nice dinner here because they invited us over to have a dinner before the talk. And we were pretty early. We finished almost 7:40 or 7:45, so that's why we got some time to do some sharing. So now that we have almost shared, we wait for another 3 minutes, 8:15 we start. Can we get the puja thing, the candle and the incense? Yeah. Oh, they are there. The candle is not there. Oh God. Oh, yes, they are here. Okay, maybe you can put this tray in front. I think enough. Enough. Center of gravity is inside. Okay, it's enough. Yeah, sadhu. Don't worry. Okay, we wait for another 2-3 minutes while I sum up what we need to understand. So we should all actually rejoice with the wholesomeness of Padmasri, Brother Teo and family for providing us with such great occasion to be here as Kayanamitas to share this joyous occasion. So this is the Thursday class that we're supposed to have at Brother Suyan's house. Then she also make it a point to invite us over for the first Thursday class that is here held in the house to have some of us to have a dinner cooked by her. And I was told some Kayanamitas also helped to bring along some food, like Sito brought the tong sui. Alicia brought the cake. Then I was told Susan did the xin choy. What you call in Hokkien English? Chai wei. Chai wei. We all call it the xin choy. So all these are very wholesome. It shows to us when there is Dhamma, when there is understanding, there is a lot of goodness in our heart. There is a lot of wholesomeness that can be generated. Even the daughter also came back from her university course in China. She was studying in Shanghai. So all these are beautiful conditions. So we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And tonight is very unique. Even though it's like a normal Thursday class, but this Thursday class is very unique. We started off with a very nice dinner. Then we had tong soi, we had cake also. Then there's a lot of joy. Then we had some simple sharing. Those who came late, don't worry, it's recorded, I think. Relatively recorded. Even though it was 10-15 minutes later, but I repeated some of the important ones inside there. So it's very good. It talked about how Sakyamuni Buddha actually renounced the world. The main intention was to develop the understanding of life, where he saw the four signs, birth, old age, sickness and death. The last one is a samana. So old age, sickness and death was his main concern. He wants to develop the wisdom and the understanding to transcend birth and death, means to overcome old age, sickness and death. And he did it when he became fully enlightened. So this teaching is very unique. Then you all should thank Michael Lu. She was the one that came and asked me that question of the unconditioned, the enlightenment state, what enlightenment is. Not bad, he got good understanding. So all this bring about the condition for me to share this. Okay, 8:15, we can start. So you invite Padmasiri, Brother Teo, and the daughter. Three of you come. Maybe you put one more candle. Yeah, bring one more candle if you can. Yeah. Then this clear water can light there separately. Never mind, it's okay. Your father also, yeah, come. Yeah, yeah. Brother Tim's father is 92 years old now, still so healthy and alert and mobile, very good. No, light here, light here, light here, light here. Slowly bring her, bring him over. Take your time, don't worry. You just put here, Pamasiri, put here. Put at the side, put at the side. Then light the, no, light the candle first. No, give the father. You don't have another candle. Small, no, the long one. No, the long one. No, the long one for him to light. So that he don't need to hold. use the other. Never mind, slowly. Take the long one. Never mind. Never mind. Did you have the other short candle, the long, the thin one? Okay. Uncle is at zhe, Uncle is at zhe, Okay, the three of you come. Never mind. No, the clear water, leave it there. Girl, you light the incense. Use the long. You light the incense. Put one more up there, generally. No need to have a container. Just use this one. Use that one. Oh, okay, you have another one. Okay. You light the incense. Then Papa Suri and Brother Tio light the other two candles. Okay. We rejoice, Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, one last one. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can stand up, when we will make the puja offering. Start with, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Start with the tray, Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Ah, pass it on. He just offered sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. For those who are new, huh? Sadhu means rejoicing in the generosity, goodness, and wholesomeness of all this offering. Huh? Which means we rejoice. Huh? These are very skillful, wholesome actions. So with the understanding, we rejoice. When you rejoice, your heart open up. And there's a lot of merits that come with it. That's why you must rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Rejoicing is one of the 10 meritorious actions, and it will bring forth your mind to be beautiful. A person who rejoices a lot can never develop envy and jealousy anymore, because you only want to rejoice. You will develop very kind mind state. That's sadhu, sadhu. Okay, that's it. So you all can sit down. Then we can actually start out with the puja chanting. You can turn to page 4. Page 4, the chanting book. But before that, let us compose our mind, develop the faith. Then we pay respect mindfully to the Buddha. We will pay respect to Triple Gem. The Thai tradition, you all can face the poster that is hang on the wall. I will face this Buddha Rupa. So we do it together. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 4. Viva Chanda Vandana. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati patta viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura meraya majjhapama dathana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of lights. Ganna sarapaditena dipenahang sina tiloka dipang sambutang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dupenahang sugang hina Puja ye puja niyang tang, puja bhajana muttamang, vanna ganda gunopetang, etang kasuma santatin, puja yami munindas, siri pada sarurohe, Pujemi buddhaṃ kasumena nena punnena maitena ca hotu mokhaṃ pupaṃ milayati yatta idaṃ me kāyo tatā yati vināsa bhāvaṃ pāṇīya puyumo bhante Puhaniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Okay, we will turn to the last page, page 18. We will do the puja expression based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make this aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, which is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Now we shall make the overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas, or powers. Then sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially so to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will end our puja by paying respect to the Triple Gem. Compose your mind, develop the faith. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. Joyce is here to offer sadhu to her. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. She will offer the garland, the jasmine. Okay, everybody can just relax body and mind. Then you can maintain some form of attention. Yeah. No problem. Can, no problem. You use the mic.
Hi, everybody. I wish I could stay, but I can't. This is a very Chikwan Sunim from Australia. I personally invited her to come to Malaysia to have some Dharma talks, and I've arranged one especially for the Kalamitas. And this is a combination of the Tuesday and Thursday class. So I hope everybody, please do not miss this rare opportunity to come and listen to her. She's a very good Dharma speaker and a very nice nun. Below are the schedules of her other talks that I've arranged for her as well. So if you have the time, please try and go attend to the classes. And with the blessings of Radhatya, she's coming to our Tuesday class on the 28th of July, and also in Wu Bin Ching Su on the 26th of July. So I'll be sending out all this very soon. So I think this class is going to be the first one who gets this copy, basically. Yeah, so I hope everybody can attend, especially the one in Brother Teo's house and in Bab's especially, because all the titles are all different. So you will be exposed to different angles of the Dharma that is coming in. Yeah, thank you very much, Brother Teo. And you'll have a nice meditation.
Yeah, you can distribute them to all. Yeah, the balance they can keep. So we should all thank Joyce for announcing such beautiful sharing. So we thank her in the usual way. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Anyway, you just pass a few out so that they can photostat if they want to. You can choose any of the date. There are many dates there.
You can choose any of the dates to come. Especially Brother Teo's class, because the title, if you can see, is a very interesting title. It's called not mind, not Buddha, not the thing. When truth knocks, why do we say go away? It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, I think this is something that Brother Du has been talking about all this time. So I think it will be very interesting for us to hear from another Dharma speaker from a different angle. But ultimately, it's the truth, I presume. Yeah,
because there are conditions for things to happen. Huh? So the condition is such, when she went to Melbourne, she met this nun, quite elderly. How old is she? 60s. 60s, not that old. But she started young. She went into the Dhamma very early. Then later on, I think she practiced mainly in Korea. That's why he is from the Mahayana tradition. Then he got on teacher in Korea that she respect a lot. So it seems according to Joyce who had met her, she had her way of sharing, which is according to her equally beautiful. And according to her, don't get me wrong, I haven't heard from her. But she said many things she spoke on quite similar to what I spoke on, but not important. Whether similar or not similar, by now you should have the ability to understand clearly. To listen, you will know. Now you can expose to any talk, no problem. Well, you understood the essential Dhamma, you can never go wrong. If you're still gullible, nobody can help you. After this type of explanation and training, you're still gullible, then it's your karmic. Don't blame anybody for what happened. But whatever it is, there are causes and conditions behind. Otherwise, this thing won't happen. It happened for a beautiful reason. So you see how you can actually benefit from it. If you have the time and you are free, no harm. It's just attending the class. But if you are not free, don't force yourself, don't push yourself. No point. Because Dhamma can be developed anywhere, any place, any time. But when there is condition, your nature will know, your mind will know. Then have an open mind, listen. Whatever that is beneficial, they will sing in and they will have meaning. Then it can actually help you to progress along the path of Dhamma. So all these are very important, essential understanding. Do not close your mind. Do not develop viewpoint. Allow yourself the opportunity to listen, because there is condition for it to arise. So we should actually find out why the condition arise. Many a time, it happened for a good reason. As long as you don't have negativity, everything will go according to nature's will. As long as you are sincere, truthful, you have the faith, and you persevere, the Dhamma will be there. You will receive the truth. Okay, anything else? Okay.
I can share a little bit of
Okay, come, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I met her when I was in Melbourne as recently. It was actually quite a strange encounter. I actually was looking for a present to give it to her, but I couldn't find it. And finally, just to cut the whole story short, it took me a while to figure out what I wanted to give her. I still couldn't figure out until the very day I want to fly off. And I saw this little white kuning that was given to me by a Thai friend. And when I brought it over and presented it to her, the amazing thing is that when she saw it, because I put it in a enclosed cloth, and when she said it, the expression on her face was this, oh gosh, and she put it close to her heart, and I was thinking, oh gosh, what happened? And she says, This is exactly the one I broke recently. I can't remember whether it was recently or a couple of days ago. And it was given to me by an old monk. It looks exactly the same. And she looked again, and then she put it in her heart again, near her heart again. And she's like, oh, you know, you could see the, it's like, how can this be? You know, it was like, she said, you know, it's really a miracle, because she was really thinking about it, how she's going to tell this old monk that she broke something that he gave her. And that particular day, this old monk, disciple was actually in the center in BSV, which is the Buddhist Society of Victoria. Yeah. And the senior monk who gave her this one, the disciple was there to see her. And she was already thinking in the morning and says that, how am I going to tell the disciple that I actually broke something that her master gave it to her? Something like that. You know. So it was quite, for me, it was something. You know, I mean, I've never met her. I don't even know who she was. And out of instinct, when I went to her center in King Lake, that's about 2 hours' drive from Melbourne, I don't know why, but I actually invited her over to Malaysia. It is only after inviting her that I was a little bit anxious whether I can actually do this. Because I have never actually invited a foreign speaker to come here and speak Dharma in the centers. I was thinking, where can I take her? No? So the first thing was like, oh yeah, my Kalamita groups. That's my first thing that comes to mind. Okay, at least I have two informal talks. You know, I mean, she's coming for like 10 days, right? And so what am I going to do with the 8 days? You know what I mean? Oh, so I said, okay, soon anyway, I will take you around, go and have a look at the centers and all that. And you know what she says? No, that doesn't really interest me very much, Joyce. You know, I can actually see things are just as beautiful as from my bathroom window. So that shows you, know. So I said, okay, I'm in trouble. But my old brother used to say, when it's meant to be, it's meant to be. I started getting friends to come tell me that, you know, you can send her here and send her there, and you know, invite her here and further. And I don't know any of these people in all these centers. But somehow it all fall into places with the right people. And now I actually have quite a few big centers that are actually taking her in. It doesn't really matter, but it's just amazing how things fall into place. That's what I'm trying to say. But I'm actually very scared that I can't do this thing. But now with this and with my Kalamita support and gratitude support, I'm quite sure this will turn out to be quite beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, go. You better don't let Clifford do it. Huh? Go. Sadhu. No problem. When I received the text from the WhatsApp, I think maybe this morning or yesterday, I forgot. When I look at the program, I was quite surprised. She managed to get all those centers to agree and invite her. And all the center, she don't know them, most of them. Even in Malacca, Alokarama Center, I think, Ramanda, she was actually invited to give a talk there. I don't know, 1 day or 2 days, you check the program, there's a slot or two for Malacca. Two slots. And they even managed to get BJF. Babs, Nalanda, and Santu, yeah. Then of course our Kalamita Tuesday class and Uping Chinsa Sunday class. Sunday class was 5 to 6:30. Yeah. We will still have our Sutta class, the 6 Patriot Platform Sutta from 4 to 5. Then after that she will come in. Then after that, the next day, the whole of the Tuesday class, we will invite her over. Then we will still have our puja. Then after that, we will hand over the mic to her to give her Dhamma talk and the sharing. So these are tentatively what was shared here. So we should all rejoice because she is a... I don't think she is a Korean. Was she a Korean? Australian. But I don't know why she went to Korea. Could it be her roots were there? Anyway, it's quite interesting. And you read the CV, biography. She is quite recognized in Australia. She gave a lot of talk and all those things too. Then she also, I think, committee member of many of the Australian Buddhist groups. And they are doing a great job, wonderful job there. He also helped out in the nun ordination and all those things. So all this come about because of condition. That's why people whom you don't know from far, they can just turn out in front of you. Like all of my teacher and guy, actually I don't know them one. Somehow they come, the teacher come, the guy come, the book come, everything come. Like I used to say, I believe in this great saying, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear, the guy will appear, the teacher will appear. And really very true. When you are ready, they will come for you. You don't have to look for them. It will just happen. That's why I said three things for you to actually walk the path of Dhamma. Be sincere, number one. Then have faith and you persevere. Your sincerity and faith can actually move a lot of things. Then when you just persevere, the Dhamma will unfold. Many, many things will just arise. So this is how cultivation can be very beautiful. Okay, for tonight, maybe you can have some sitting. We still got 30 minutes. So I will ask Padmasri and Brother Tune to off the light. Then you can start your meditation. I give you 15 minutes to meditate. For those who are new, I think one or two of you, if you don't know how to develop the training of the mind to do this meditation, later I will give you this book. There is a blue book on meditation. Then there is a seminar paper that will lead you to understand life and the importance of studying this teaching that the Buddha taught. They call it the Buddha Dhamma. The teaching taught by the Buddha is called the Dhamma. That's why it's the Buddha's Dhamma. Dhamma is truth. All of nature's truth that governs all of life and existence. And when you develop the understanding of this truth, you will understand the secret of life. You will understand life. You will know how to live life. And you will know how to become beautiful. And your life need not have any of those unhappiness and suffering anymore. Okay, now you can proceed with your meditation. For those who are new, if you don't know how to meditate, you just relax and silent body and mind. Find out for yourself whether you can just silent and be peaceful or not. Then tell me what happened after that. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who cannot, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then we can start with the invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6. The cordless mic passed to Ingby. Ingby is here. I will read to you the English translation of the invocation. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their great entirety, let the devas or deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which is heaven and release. Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine.
Samanta Chakvalisu Atra gacchantu devata Saddhammam munirajasa Sunantu saggamokkhadam Dhammasavanakalo Ayam badanta dhamma savana kalo Ayam badanta dhamma savana kalo Ayam badanta Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa
Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa Iti peso Bhagavā Arahaṃ Sammā Sambuddho Vicchacarana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhammasarati Satta Deva Manusana Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Kaliko Ehipaseko Opanaiko Pachatam Veditago Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Upatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyaya Patipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yāyāṁ cattari purisa yokkhāne atta Purisa Pukala Esa Bhagavato Sauka Sango Ahuneyo Pahoneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttaram Punya Ketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, we pay respect to Pajam. Develop the faith, compose the mind, then we pay respect. Buddhang Pajami. Dhammang Pajami. Sanghang Pajami. Okay, relax yourself. Then maintain some form of attention. Then we shall continue with our second session. Normally, our second session is reporting of meditation followed by Q&A. But tonight, I decide to change a bit. As I explained earlier on, too many, before we start. We should thank Brother Teo and Sister Padmasuri for coming out with the essential Dhamma, 10 pieces of them. If you look at the wall at the back, they are all properly printed out and pasted on the wall. On your left, there are 5. On your right, there are another 5. These are the essential Dhammas that the Buddha actually make use of. And it's spin off from his essential teaching, the essence of the Buddha's teaching, the Four Noble Truths. And these are very important essential Dhammas that you need to understand before you can really cultivate. And during the early days when I started, I pay a lot of attention to all this. That's why I explain them in quite detail before we move in to the Dhamma. Because if you cannot get this essential Dhamma understood, it's not easy to cultivate. I remember during the early days, 2004, end of 2004, when I was first invited to come out to share, that was about 10 plus years ago. At first I thought living being like me, you only need the Dhamma. So when I started officially, I spoke the essential Dhamma in quite a penetrative way. Then later I realized not many can understand. Even that time I said, if anybody can understand 10% of what I spoke, that cultivator is already very good. Then I reflected and contemplated. Then I realized most of the cultivator at that time, okay, Dhamma friends, they don't have the basic understanding of the essential Dhamma or the Buddha's teaching. That's why they couldn't penetrate the Dhamma. They couldn't develop clear understanding to cultivate this teaching. So I got to reverse back the whole teaching. And when I reverse back the whole teaching, people thought, I keep on repeating all this essential Dhamma. Then some even commented, why Brother Teo every time I repeat the Four Noble Truths, the Three Turning, and all this essential Dhamma, is the Four Noble Truths kindergarten stuff. Only Sunday school children learn Four Noble Truths. Because they used to say, now they want to do Vipassana, or the big name. They want to develop insight. They want to cultivate insight meditation. or jnana knowledge, jhana and all those things. That became a problem because people don't understand. Without the essential Dhamma understanding, your foundation is not established. You cannot move on, you cannot progress, just like building a building. As a civil engineer, I can tell you, you don't have a proper building foundation, your building will collapse, and you cannot start. That's why everything starts from the foundation. When you have a good foundation, your building will come up beautifully. It can support whatever that you want to carry or understand. So similarly, these essential dhammas, these are like the foundation that you need to understand his teaching, because they are all interrelated, connected. And they spin off from the Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. So tonight, I will share all this dhamma with you all. For those who are new, you got no idea of what the Buddha's teaching is all about. Maybe you make use of this condition to listen attentively. The Buddha's teaching is very simple. He only teach the truth, nothing but the truth. That's why his teaching is called Dhamma. And because he is the Buddha, people call his teaching the Buddha Dhamma. Dhamma is truth, and the essence of his teaching is the Four Noble Truths. They call Arya Satcha. Arya means enlightened being, noble beings, noble ones. Enlightened beings are very noble in all of their qualities. They are very noble in their understanding of life. They are very noble in the way they conduct themselves via action, speech and thought process. They are very noble in all aspects of life. They are very skillful. They have great understanding and they have great blessings. That's why you read the Mangala Sutta, there is a chant at the back there, the 38 blessings, the great true blessings, is stated by the Buddha in the Mangala Sutta. So when you're free, you can have a look. If you have time, after I read to you. If you cultivate these 38 great blessings, you will have good life, you will be very blessed, and you are destined for enlightenment. So these great blessings come from understanding all this essential Dhamma, the essence of his teaching, the Four Noble Truths. These Four Noble Truths, they are so beautiful. It is because the Buddha, after his enlightenment, he has such great understanding of life, he can summarize all of life. The whole of the mundane and the supramundane, the conditioned and the unconditioned, into just Four Noble Truths. That's why this is the secret of life. Everything that you need to know about life is all inside this Four Noble Truths. And these are truths that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones. That's why it's called the Noble Truth. That's why Dhamma is the teaching of the Buddha. And the essence of the teaching is the Four Noble Truths. That's why he teaches just truth. Truth is whatever that can explain the way things are, that points towards the reality is the truth. So in this whole universe, is it? You only need to know this four things. Then you will understand life. You will know the secret of life and you will know how to live. And nothing is apart from this Four Noble Truths. First, he said there is the First Noble Truth that explains to you clearly all of the reality of life and existence. The Noble Truth of suffering, the Buddha said. And it is a Noble Truth because he said in life, you live long enough, you will need to confront this 8 types of realities of life and existence. And when you confront them without wisdom and understanding, suffering will arise. So this noble truth is very powerful. It talks about the prevalence of suffering for people who don't have this understanding of his teaching. And this 8 reality, you can relate back to life. It involves every aspect of life. The first 4 are very common, you heard before. Birth, old age, sickness, and death. If you don't have wisdom when you confront them, suffering will arise. That's why just now before we start, I said Sakyamuni Buddha, before he became the Buddha, he left the palace. He renounced the world because he wants to search for the answer to this reality of birth, old age, sickness, and death. He wants to understand what is birth and death. And how come with birth come old age, sickness, and death? These are the realities that you need to confront. If life ultimately ends up with such misery like getting old, becoming so useless, so fragile, so weak, so sick, and finally have to die, then what is the meaning of life? Then how can we overcome old age, sickness, and death? How can we confront this reality and yet remain happy and peaceful? Is there an understanding that can allow us to transcend all this old age, sickness, and death? That is the reason why the Buddha renounced the world. So this reality, the Buddha said, when you confront them without understanding, you become miserable. And as most of us has gone through life, we have seen how our parents and our great parents, grandparents suffer. Even most of us who are not that young anymore, as you go through old age, you start to experience the reality of this body and mind. Many things are no longer like before. Your health has deteriorated, the organ due to wear and tear and certain type of condition has started to become more and more weak, more and more fragile, and some of them they have started to fail you. It has developed into a lot of sickness, disease, etc. And all this can be very traumatic. Then there is this constant fear of death, worrying about so many things related to health problem, relationship problem, and even like financial problem. All these are related to this physical body. As you get old, get sick, you need to spend a lot of money on your health. You need to actually develop great understanding to pull through all these phases of life. Especially when you get old, first thing is you have to retire. Even if you don't retire, people will make you retire. You will lose your job. And when you lose your job, you lose your income. If you are not somebody who can plan your future to retire well, you may not do well in life. Then even if you have planned for your retirement, you may have some form of savings or investment. But if you don't make the correct decision, this investment can just disappear, may not meet up with your expectation. Then when other circumstances set in, like when you fall sick and it demands a lot of very expensive and costly procedure to heal yourself or to get back to good health, your saving may not be enough to last you. Even if you have bought insurance, it may not be enough. So all these are realities of life and existence. So when you confront them, can you still be peaceful and happy? And pending death, can you confront death with understanding, without fear, without having the thought to project and worry about this and that? can you still maintain the understanding to be peaceful, to be happy? So these are the teachings that the Buddha actually teach, and he said this reality are very true and can be very traumatic if you don't understand. And you don't have the understanding and you confront them with delusion, it can be really, really miserable, and suffering will arise, affliction will arise. That's why you can see a lot of people suffer because of old age, sickness and death. Then the fifth reality is equally traumatic, the Buddha said. Separation from loved ones. Separation from your possession, wealth, things that you hold on to dearly, that you give a lot of meaning to. So separation can happen in many ways. Your loved one, it can happen due to death, and death can be natural death or premature death due to accident, nature's disaster, tsunami, even kidnaps, snatch thief incident, building collapse, earthquake, war, riots. All these are possibility of death and separation. Sometimes it's forced separation due to certain circumstances. Then there is this relationship failure that lead to divorce and separation from your loved ones. Then due to misunderstanding, the children and the parents argue, then they get themselves developing the anger, the hatred, then they separate. Then when you make a wrong business decision or during economic crisis, whatever you own can just separate from you. Your business, your wealth, your property, your money, and all those things that you think you own, your cars, they can just overnight gone. Then even your reputation, your career, you can just lose your job overnight. Your good reputation can just go to the drain when something happened to you, when you make a mistake. And there are many, many life-related realities that can be very traumatic, that can lead to a lot of suffering, misery. Then in life, you worry about so many things because you deludedly believe you own them. When your loved one has problem, you're scared. You have a lot of fear. You worry about they separate from you. So all these are the realities. Then the sixth one is when you are with people whom you don't like. That one, many people confront them. Even in the career environment, you are not exempted. Then not only career environment, it can be due to your neighbors sometimes, not so friendly, not so kind, not so understanding. Then sometimes it can be due to people who always bully you or harass you. Or certain type of colleagues and bosses that are not easy for you to be with. So you develop a lot of unhappiness, suffering and fear. Especially nowadays, you heard of child abuse by step-parents. Then you also heard of sexual harassment in the job environment, various type of. Then recently, like the lawyer incident and other things. If you happen to be there, and you happen to be that mistaken identity or whatever, sometimes things can just happen. So are you able to understand all this happening and confront them? Then the seventh one is throughout the day, living being experienced. And it can be very traumatic too. But most people don't see it. The Buddha said when things don't go your way, when your expectation in life are not met, you expect to be promoted, you didn't get it, somebody else get it. You expect your friends, your brothers, your sister, your loved one to understand you, but you never receive that type of response and understanding. Then you expect a lot of people, a lot of those people whom you know quite close to you, you expect them to understand you, appreciate what you have done, be nice to you, but their expectation is never met because most people are very selfish and they are too busy to even think of you because they themselves have a lot of problems too. So when your expectations are not met, when things don't go your way, when you cannot get what you want, you crave to have certain things, but there is no condition for you to have it, you can become miserable, afflicted. So all these are related to life. And in modern terms and terminology, if you express it in the modern civilization terminology, you understand better. Like getting older. You say getting old, I think it won't strike them. But you say Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease, blindness and all those things, they will understand you better. Then when you talk about cancer, stroke, heart attack, all these very traumatic diseases, they will understand you very well. Then premature death, accidental death, murder and other things, rape. So all these are modern technology which is part of the first seven reality. Then the last one, the Buddha summarized everything, is in short, all of your suffering, misery come about because you deludedly believe this so-called human being is what you are, and you attach and cling on to this five aggregate of form and mind, which the Buddha called the grasping aggregate, that condition all of your suffering and misery. And this one cover everything. Well, this is the physical body and the mind that is trapped inside that you use to come to this universe to live life. This is the karmically conditioned form and mind, which we call a human being or a living being. If you have self-delusion, sakadity, you grasp and cling, the Buddha said you will become miserable. You will have a lot of suffering. You think this is you. What will happen? You will worry about this body getting old, getting sick and die. That is the reality. That's why the first noble truth reality. Then you will believe that everything that you arise is what you are experiencing in life. All of the feeling, pleasant, unpleasant, painful feeling, happy, good feeling. Every time it's painful feeling, you suffer, you become miserable, you don't like them. Unpleasant feeling, painful feeling, your like and dislike, all these other things that you create through your discrimination. Every moment of sense experience, you arise them. So when you do it so often, it becomes habitual tendencies. Once it becomes habitual tendency, it becomes a part of your five aggregate of form and mind. And the Buddha called this the hindrance of mind. It hinders your mind from becoming peaceful, from becoming silent and aware. That's why the first two hindrances, sensual desire and ill will, and they are all covered under the essential Dhamma behind. So the Buddha said, you have to understand clearly who you are, what you are, otherwise you will be afflicted. You deludedly grasp onto it. If you don't understand that the mind is not you, the consciousness and its content is not you, you will be afflicted. And what is mind? That's why the teaching come about, the five aggregates of form and mind. First aggregate is the physical body. Then the Buddha said you have a mind within, trapped inside his physical body. This mind has ability to do many things. But he summarized them into four aggregate, means four aspects that the mind is capable of. You have to inquire, what can my mind do? And then you understand. The Buddha said your mind can feel hot or cold, painful feeling or good feeling or neutral feeling, pleasant, unpleasant or neutral feeling, painful, good and neutral feelings. Then apart from feeling, your mind also can know things. It can perceive through what you see, memory, like the Buddha image. You can perceive my voice that I spoke to your hearing consciousness. You can perceive through your smell, taste, tactile and thought consciousness. Like when you eat food, through your smell, you can perceive what type of food. And through your taste, you can perceive whether the food is good or not so good, fresh or not so fresh. And through your tactile, you can also perceive many things, whether the weather is windy or not windy, whether the nature is giving you any of this type of beautiful experience or setting or not. You can feel them. Then you have your thought consciousness that you constantly arise. Your thinking. If you don't understand life, you will think the wrong thought. And this wrong way of thinking is what the Buddha meant by delusion. When you have self-delusion, you will think with an egoic mind, with a personality within. And when you do that, the Buddha said, you will arise the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And these are called evil roots because they are the root of all evil. Because when you believe you exist, you believe this consciousness is what you are, there is a thinker behind the thought, then you will develop this wrong view to cling on to this identity which you will grasp onto, because when you are born, they give you a name, you got a birth cert. Later on, they give you an identity card. Then they give you a passport. Then as you go through life, they call you by your name. Then as you go through education, you are even honored with a qualification, degree or whatever. So that entity, the egoic mind, has been so conditioned into you. And when you think and believe you are real, you exist, you will develop the evil roots of selfishness and greed, because you will try to own things and have things, possess things. That's why you will have greed for things, selfishness to own and possess. You will have possessiveness. Then you will have lust, craving, desire to own more things, to control things. Then you will become emotional, which is your anger, your hatred. When things don't go your way, when people disturb you, you are not happy. You become emotional, you become violent. These are the evil root of greed. Then the last one is fear, worry, anxiety, born of delusion. These are the evil root triggered off by delusion. So the Buddha said, if you think wrongly, wrong thought will condition all of your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, selfishness, emotional negativity. That's why when you don't have the understanding and the Dhamma, you will always think the wrong thought. And thought with its mental intention, if it's wrong, it will condition wrong action and speech. That's why your whole life is ruined. The whole of the Noble Eightfold Path fall apart because you don't have right view that will condition the right thought, that will condition your right speech and right action. And this is what the teaching is all about. So the Buddha said, you can feel, you can perceive, then you can think, you can arise the mental thinking. You can have views and opinion of things. You can plan, you can scheme. you can become what they call vicious, cunning. All these are called sankhara, mental activity or mental states that you arise. Then the last aggregate is consciousness, is it? Our human mind, because we have the physical senses and the mind, when it comes into contact, it can make you conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So this is the secret of life. This is how you arise as a human being. This is how you function as a human being, through your mind, through your consciousness. It is because of your ability to be conscious of what you see, what you hear, smell, taste, tactile feel and think, that enable you to know the world and interact with the world. True or not? Without the senses, you are like a vegetable, dead. Without consciousness, you are like a dead person. True or not? Can follow that part? Huh? If that part you cannot follow, means difficult already. I ask you a very simple question. How do you know the world? How do you interact with the world? You know the world through what? Through your senses, isn't it? Through what you see, isn't it? Your consciousness of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile and thought process. That's why you watch the TV. There is this channel on sight and sound. Eh? The beauty of sight and sound. Then ticket to indulgence. You have to indulge through your senses, nothing else. So without your senses, you cannot know the world. You cannot become a human being or a living being. You cannot be alive. And you cannot interact with the world without the senses. There is no speech. There is no action. There is no thought process. So now this drives us to the first essential Dhamma that the Buddha talked about. Here, the top one, Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, you all have the notes, you all should recall. That's why the Buddha actually spoke when he was alive. There are 423 verses that he spoke about truth that has been compiled. They are called the Dhammapada verse. And these first two are the most important. That's why the Buddha put it number 1 and number 2. After he has developed the great enlightenment, he realized, human being, like I explained to you, this is how you know the world and how you interact with the world. So he said, your mind is the forerunner of all things. You agree, right? Yeah? Without mind, you cannot know anything. Right? All of your knowing, all of your experience in life come from mind. So your mind is very important, is it? Your mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief, and everything arises from the mind. Now you can understand, huh? Can understand, huh? Can agree, huh? That's why this is a very powerful statement. It's about you, understand, huh? It's understanding what that mind is all about, what that consciousness is all about, because we have a physical body that have the senses. Upon contact with mind, we can become conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. And these are the wonders of nature. Without this sixth end or sixth type of consciousness, you can never live life. Your life got no meaning. A person who is paralyzed, a vegetable, you know what is happening to them. They got no seeing consciousness, no hearing consciousness, no smell, no taste, no tactile, only maybe thought, understand? But if they are unconscious, there is even no thought consciousness, because the consciousness has come out of the body. Then they put them on the machine, the pulse, keep you alive. Then the Buddha said, if mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief, everything comes from the mind. That's why Mahayana teaching has this phrase, which is also the same. He said, 一切为心造. Those who know Mandarin, they will know. Everything is created by the mind. The mind create them. 心造成的. So when you understand that mind is a foreigner, all things mind chief, and everything is created by the mind or arise from the mind, then what must you do? What must you do? You must take care of that mind. You know, because that mind is so powerful, it can go either way. You know? So you have to train that mind. That's why you must meditate. You must understand his teaching. Then if you don't train your mind, what happens? If you don't train me, you simply do things, correct or not? You become heedless, isn't it? So the Buddha said, the person who don't train their mind, Dhammapada was one will follow. He will speak, act, and think with a heedless mind, unwholesome mind. And they use the word wicked is because it's an evil mind. Because when you are heedless, you deludedly grasp onto this form and mind, you think you exist. This egoic mind will make you selfish. The three evil roots of selfishness, greed, then anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, the second evil root. Then fear, worry, anxiety, the evil root of delusion. So the heedless one will act, speak, and think with a heedless mind, or wicked mind, or unwholesome mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then suffering will follow them, like the wheel that follow the ox hood, the hoof of the ox. So if you want to avoid suffering, you have to avoid Dhammapada was one. You have to see the importance of mind. You have to learn to take care of mind, train the mind, so that it will take care of you. That's why you go to Dhammapada verse 2. Again, the Buddha repeat, since you understand now, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. And when mind arises, everything arises. So you must be heedful and train this mind, so that you are ever mindful to see your mental intention. Then you will speak, act, and think with a wholesome mind, a pure mind, that is free of all the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Such a being, happiness will follow him or her like the shadow that never leaves them. See? Now you understand. So life is pretty simple, isn't it? You want to avoid suffering, train your mind, be heedful, avoid Dhammapada was one. If you want to have happiness, train your mind to be heedful and develop the ability to act, speak, and think with a heedful mind that is free of all the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then you will have a lot of happiness. Happiness will follow you like the shadow that never leaves you. So these are the essential teaching, and he explained to you very clearly. So now you understand the first noble truth, the realities of life and existence. You check against these two Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. First noble truth that talks about suffering. Who are the ones that will develop suffering? Those who have the delusion, those who are heedless, they have the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Because of delusion, they will cling, they will grasp, believing that this is what they are. And because of greed and selfishness, they become attached to their physical body, to their views and opinion, to everything that they come to perceive and feel. Perceive means you perceive them as your loved one, your possession, your wealth, your career, your reputation. Then when you are about to lose them, you felt threatened. And when you deludedly attach and cling onto this physical body, when it starts to get old, get sick and about to die. Again, you have a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow. That's why suffering will follow you. People with delusions suffer a lot. People with greed, hatred, the evil roots, root of all evil, make you very evil. That's why the Buddha recommends you to train your mind to avoid all the evil. That's how the Buddha's advice come about. Dhammapada 1, verse 183. The Buddha said, if you understand Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, you have to determine to train your mind. So to train your mind to avoid all evil, do good and purify the mind. So if you do that, you will become very beautiful, the Buddha said. And how do you avoid all evil? What did the Buddha recommend? Every day you chant in your puja. You're supposed to renew your what? Precepts. Very good. And what are precepts? They are training rule. You undertake the training rule to abstain from violating them. And who are the ones that violate precepts? They are the selfish people, angry people, emotionally violent people, and also those who are deluded. That's why people with the three evil roots, they will violate this precept. Take for example the first precept. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. You realize at the end, sikkhadagami, panatipata viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. This one is always repeated. So that part means I undertake the training rule to abstain from. That part is the same. First one is killing fellow living being or harming fellow living being. So I ask you one question. Who kill and who harm? What type of people will do that? Selfish people who has a motive. Angry, violent people. The evil roots of greed, selfishness and hatred or anger. Or people with jealousy, envy. They can actually harm and kill. Then deluded, don't understand. That's how they get the evil roots of selfishness and hatred and anger. When you understand that, you will never violate this precept because it will lead to downfall. The other one is the law of karma. The Buddha said in your chanting book at the back, the five daily contemplation, remember? That is also part of the essential Dhamma. You have to go through that. The last contemplation, the first four is about the first noble truth reality. Then the last one is about law of karma. The Buddha said, each and every living being, referring to our physical body and mind, the five aggregate, they are all born of the karma, heir to their karma, conditioned and supported by their karma. And this form and mind, they are what they are because of the karma. So if you know karma plays such a great role in this life of yours, you have to take care of karma. And the only way to take care of karma is to avoid all evil. Because karma is about you reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. If you do not avoid all evil, your karma will fall and you will get into big trouble. Dhammapada verse 1 will take its course, suffering will arise. So because of that, it said, avoid all evil. All evil you have to avoid. Then cultivate whatever goodness when there are conditions. Then the last one is to purify your mind. That's why you must meditate to develop the wisdom and the understanding. And these are the advice of all Buddhas. Every Sambuddha that come, they will advise you the same. So the four noble truths, just now I only spoke of the first noble truth. The second noble truth explained to you clearly the cause of arising of suffering. The Buddha said all this first noble truth reality, the eight type of reality that brings about suffering when you don't have the understanding of his teaching. They arise because of your delusion, sakadity, self-delusion, the condition you to grasp at your five aggregate or form of mind, or this so-called human being. And that's what he calls suffering. So the cause of arising of suffering, the Buddha said, is craving, desire, born of wrong view, sakadity, self-delusion. So desire can be positive and negative. Positive desire is your selfishness, your lust, your craving, your desire, your possessiveness, your cunningness. Then the other one is the negative craving, craving not to be, your aversion towards something, your hatred, the negative craving of envy, jealousy. So all these, they are the negative craving. So craving got positive and negative. Then neutral refer to delusion. When you don't understand, there is doubt. There's a neutral feeling. You don't know what to do. You just remain like, do also die, don't do also die. So you don't know what to do. You just stay there, panic. So, all this come about because you don't understand his teaching. So when you understand his teaching, you will know how to cultivate accordingly. Then the Buddha moved on to Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23. These three are the verses on heedfulness or apamada. The Buddha tells you very, very directly, you see. Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful do not die, and the heedless are as if dead. So from this statement, it's very clear that if you don't train your mind to be ever mindful, to cultivate the meditation leading to the wisdom and the understanding, then you are being heedless. And the heedless are as if dead, no? Spiritually dead, no chance of enlightenment at all. That's why the heedless are as if dead means Dhammapada verse 1, suffering will follow you because you will speak and think heedlessly with a heedless mind that has the evil roots. Whereas if you train your mind to be heedful, you are guaranteed enlightenment, the Buddha said. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. You never die. You can go beyond birth and death. That will lead us to the third noble truth, the Buddha said. When you understand what suffering is and the cause behind, you will know how to manage your life better. Because you have experienced what suffering is, you don't want to go through it again. All of your sorrow, lamentation, fear, worry, anxiety, misery, unhappiness, you don't want to arise them anymore. So what you do? You determine to train your mind to be heedful. You don't want to be heedless anymore. So that you will not be deluded. You will not crave. You will not grasp, cling, and hold on to this fire cricket or form of mind. Or then, the Buddha says, suffering need not be. If you have this understanding, if you don't attach, don't cling, don't grasp, don't hold to delusion or self-delusion, you develop a clear understanding of who you are, what you are, and you can insight into phenomena and penetrate and come to a clear understanding that this is also another phenomena, karmically conditional, not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why this one can die. Whereas the true nature that is not born, the eternal life, they never die, never grow old, never get sick. And that one you have to meditate, develop the wisdom to assist the mind to connect. Otherwise you cannot experience it. That's why the third number truth gives you assurance. Suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. You develop this training of the mind to be mindful, to be heedful, and you penetrate the teaching and the Dhamma. Then you can awaken, you can become enlightened. then suffering need not be. That's why this third noble truth talk about enlightenment in the here and the now. No need to wait till death. That's why there is a noble truth that talk about the end of all suffering, cessation of all suffering, which is Nibbana. And this can be realized in the here and the now, before this form and mind die. So that is very reassuring. But the Buddha never stopped there. He said, there is a fourth noble truth. If you cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. That is the meditation, noble eightfold path. Because you want to meditate to become enlightened, to end all your suffering. That's why you must cultivate noble eightfold path. So if you train your mind to be ever mindful to cultivate this noble eightfold path, you will develop the enlightenment, the wisdom. And when you do this constantly, you are being heedful. That's why the heedful never die. Then the Buddha continued verse 22, assure you further. He said, distinctly understand this difference between heedlessness and heedfulness. The wise one intend on heedfulness. And when they do that, they will rejoice in the rhyme of the Aryas, which are the enlightened ones. That's why you are destined for enlightenment. You will rejoice in the rhyme of the Aryas or enlightened ones or noble ones. Then Dhammapada verse 23, define what heedfulness is and confirm to you. If you are heedful, you will realize the bond-free Nibbana. The Buddha said, Dhammapada verse 23, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one, means you hold on to these two practices steadfastly, they will realize the bond-free Nibbana, which is the enlightenment. Constantly meditative means constantly cultivating noble eightfold path. Ever mindful means you train your mind until it's throughout the day, even in the midst of daily life, you are ever mindful. Not only you are mindful when you are in the retreat or in a formal meditation sitting. No, in the midst of life, every moment, every instant. That is what heedfulness is all about, ever mindful. That's why you cannot be mindful in the midst of life, in your daily mindfulness. You have not really touched the real meditation, and you have not really understood the Buddha Dhamma or the teaching that the Buddha wants to share with you. Then now we come over to this side. These first two, you are very familiar with. Thursday class, I always talk about these two essential Dhamma, your five spiritual faculty and your five mental hindrances. So the Buddha explained very clearly, like what I explained just now. When you confront life, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel or think, you always react to what you see, what you hear, what you feel or what you think, smell and taste. The reason being you got wrong view. You are so conditioned. That's why you want to hold on to things that you attach to or cling on to, that you define as good, happy. So throughout the day you will have your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, because you created this wrong view. You created duality. And you keep on oscillating between these two, pleasant, unpleasant feeling, then like and dislike. And because of that, it becomes the first two hindrances of sensual desire in you. And this becomes habitual, where throughout the day you arise, your thought are so conditioned. And you don't have equanimity. You don't have a clear mind to see things clearly and develop the understanding. You only crave. That's why the first noble true reality, the seventh one, you want things your way. When you cannot get what you want, suffering arises. You want good feeling, pleasant feeling. Yeah? You want those things that you call like. You don't like those that you dislike, unpleasant feeling, or when things don't go your way. That's how you suffer. That's why the hindrance come, make you miserable. And throughout the day, you are so busy reacting to sense experience, doing all this. That's why it becomes so habitual. Then, when you are in that state of habitual, heedless thinking and reaction, automatic one, especially spouse or children and parent, you open your mouth only, the children will reply back already, "Ma, I know what you're going to tell me." "Oppa, enough." Then sometimes you hold also, you always like that one. So habitual tendency is very, very strong. They are called anusaya or latent tendency. They are very, very strong, or they call it asava, very latent, keep on wanting to come out. We are habitual. So they hinders your mind from becoming peaceful. Where every time you react, you are not peaceful. You cannot see things as they are. Where you are preoccupied with your thought, you are stirring your mind, you are developing all those emotions through your evil roots and delusion. And these hindrances are very real, especially the first two. They are part of the evil roots of greed and hatred that you see clearly. Then, when you are very tired or when you are listening to certain topic that you don't see the importance of it, like Dhamma, or when you are in the school, if the subject doesn't interest you, you feel sleepy. Like certain people ask them to meditate, they don't see the importance, they close their eyes. They want to sleep already. The mind becomes lethargic, sloth and tumble. So this is a hindrance. Every time you do that, you cannot maintain awareness. You cannot train your mind. You cannot develop the meditation. So what you must do is, you must arise the understanding to see the importance of meditation, to train the mind. That's why you must have faith in the Buddha and his teaching and see the importance. Then you will develop the spiritual faculty of faith, leading to virya, which is the spiritual zeal or tenacity to walk this way. And then you won't be sleepy enough. You see the importance of training this mind after understanding the teaching. So this is what Dhamma is all about. Then because of delusion, the fourth hindrance of mind is very real, restlessness of mind. Who are the people who become restless? The mind not peaceful. People who think a lot, worry a lot, have a lot of fear, anxiety, true or not, when you have problem in life, health problem, financial problem, relationship problem, when you cheat on your girlfriend, boyfriend, or your spouse, you have a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety. Then in Hokkien, they say, "Gi sim gi kui." Because heard of something only, you panic already. Oh, the spouse know already. Then worry already. Wow, what happened? What will she do when she find out? So all this. And the wife side may be not so difficult. No? Your wife is not so one that the one that chop you into 18 pieces. But you meet the mistress who is equally violent one, don't let you off on her. Oh, that one miserable. Then you come back, you stay in between, you sure die standing. Cannot even lie down. Cannot chop from both sides. Go out also die. Stay at home also die. So why in the first place you go and do all this thing and break your third precept? That's why you look at the 38 blessing. Maintain chastityness. Or what? It's a blessing, no? No more suffering. So this one, restlessness, when you don't have wisdom and understanding, you don't have this understanding of the Four Noble Truths, the secret of life, you don't know how to live, then you will entangle yourself in life. Dhammapada verse 1. Then when you entangle, you have suffering. Suffering means what? You are not happy, miserable. You have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. Then you are miserable. That's why you enter depression and all those things. And these are the people who are very restless. They never peaceful because they worry a lot, so much fear. That's why I said they worry about life. They never live life. They throughout the day think, so heedless thinking. They are too busy thinking, planning and worrying about life. And because of that, they never live life. Understand? You want to end up like that, then continue to be healers. Then you will not understand what life is. But if you train your mind and develop the opposite five spiritual faculty, the Buddha say you become beautiful. Overnight, you become beautiful. And your life take a turn. The moment you have spiritual faculty, the hindrance ceases to be. And this hindrance, they are very real, very powerful. They will condition your heedlessness. Because when you are not peaceful, not calm, you don't have clarity, you don't have the meditative mind to see clearly. You cannot understand a single thing. You don't understand life completely. And you become so deluded, you grasp, cling and hold. Until it burns you, torments you and make you miserable, you still don't know what is going on. You still blame others, blame yourself, remorse and all those things. And all this lead to further suffering. Yeah. When you understand, you see so clearly, you can never allow it to afflict you anymore. Like the Diamond Sutta, or not the Diamond Sutta, Black Form Sutta. He said, when you hold your hand like that, it's what? Yeah. This is grasping, clinging, holding. And this one is affliction, you see, suffering. When you open your hand, you don't hold, don't grip. Oh, this fire aggregate is free. This is happiness. This is enlightenment. That's why don't hold, don't grasp, don't cling, don't be deluded. When the hindrance are not there, you are beautiful. But when the hindrance are there, it hinders you from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner awareness, to develop the understanding and the wisdom. That's why you will fall. The heedless are as if dead. The hindrance of mind come when you are heedless. And because of that, the evil will follow. The last one is doubt. When you are not sure, like just now, do not do or don't do. Do also die, don't do also die. When you don't have understanding, you don't have the Dhamma, you got doubt. That's why you go and believe all the funny things. You go and believe feng shui. You go and believe the medium. Again, kena slaughter. Spend so much money and get con some more. Sometimes even take advantage of. That's why all this is karmic. Because in the past you did to people, you don't know. Now you become the victim, you go and see them, see medium, see all the bomb, and see all the fortune teller. If they are so good, they wouldn't be interested in the business. They will make themselves very wealthy. Why bother about doing those business? Then you don't go and believe all those unnecessary things. Because feng shui has its signs, but to me not important because it's not critical. The most critical one, 99.999%, is karma. Take care of karma, then you don't need feng shui. You don't take care of karma, no matter what feng shui you build, you also die standing there. You don't believe, you go and try. Yeah, all those are right and ritual belief. Initially, when you believe, you have faith, then, wow, really true, this feng shui work. Then economic crisis come, or you get into trouble, this feng shui doesn't work anymore. You go to the feng shui master, the element has changed. You need to renovate your house, you need to do this. Then you spend money. Then after that, still no different. Then you come to a late realization, everything is karma. Too late. So, the mental hindrance, the Buddha said, don't fight. Just understand that they are the one that brings about hindrance. Cultivate the opposite five, the Buddha said. If you have this five, you will become beautiful. And this five is very easy, common sense. Faith in the Buddha and his teaching, the first one. Even in real life, you must have faith in yourself, self-confident. True or not? When you are confident, half the battle is won, they say. Exam also say, no confidence, go in sure. F1. Or don't do well. But when you're very confident, they say, you will score. you will do very well. So faith is very important. When you attend interview with full confidence, because you are well prepared, you understand, you will do very well, even exam or whatever, or even your business. That's why everything needs faith. Then you need to work towards it, spiritual zeal that drives you. You see the importance of it, then you work towards it sincerely with faith, and you persevere. That's how virya comes about. Virya is not effort, please. It is the spiritual zeal, tenacity to walk this way. When you see the importance of meditation, training the mind, you will go all out to train your mind. That's how you develop sati. And sati is mindfulness, awareness before the knowing. Body and mind as one without thought. When you act, move, even meditate, just silent, relax, no thought. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. Because it's before the knowing, before the arising of the aggregate. It's just an awareness before the knowing. So to be aware is very simple. The moment I'm silent, I'm already aware. I don't try to be aware. The trying is by the thought. It leads to thought-based meditation. That is not the real awareness. That's why they always use thought, intending to walk, intending to do this. Then note, all these are word verbalization, thought-based. How can you be aware when you continue to create thought? There is no way. That's why mindfulness is just aware. The Buddha say, breathing in, aware, breathing out, aware. Mind and breath move as one. Then when you bow, aware. Stand, aware. Walk, aware. The Buddha never say stand, not standing, standing. He never say that. He say, correct or not? True or not? In the Satipatthana, did the Buddha say, want to walk, not intending to walk? He said, no, walk. When you walk, aware. When you stand, aware. Aware means attentive. Mindful, body and mind as one. Then you walk. And that is what sati is all about. Not what has been taught to you all. So now when you understand, you better wake up. Don't be gullible anymore. Just do it. And the moment you are aware, you will understand what awareness is. No more through the words, the verbalization, no more. Then when your mindfulness is developed, you have to stabilize it. That's why I teach you a few skillful means. This blue book. For those who are new, you read this. This one, the whole Thursday class. That class was very good. 12 September 2013. It explained clearly about the five hindrances. How to use the skillful means to train the mind. To decondition the heedless thinking. And after you decondition the heedless thinking, you become more peaceful. You don't, like before, think a lot until the thought like cannot stop. So to decondition your heedless thinking, you have to develop the mind sweeping method combined with metta. Then after that, stabilize the mindfulness using any skillful means. It can be anapanasati or whatever object of meditation that you are familiar with. Then from there, you maintain that trained mind, which is full of faith, full of virya, and full of sati, carry them into your daily life to develop the daily mindfulness. And that is the real meditation. So once sati stabilizes, samadhi will arise. Samadhi is the continuous mindfulness, but not in absorption, not in apana samadhi. Upacara samadhi, assess concentration. But not focused yet, not absorbed into it yet, not in one pointedness. It's just a pure mind, a free mind that is ever mindful, continuously mindful. And when you are able to be continuously mindful, this upacara samadhi will make your mind collected and unwavering. That's why it's different. When it is not in samadhi, it will waver. Is not collected because it's not stable enough. That's why Kanika Samadhi is not stable enough. Moment to moment Samadhi is not stable enough. You need Upajara Samadhi. Then when you are in Upajara Samadhi, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, or tactile, feel something, the mind remains collected, unwavering. That's why you can see things as they are. That's why with sati and samadhi, you see things as they are. You will develop the understanding of truth, the reality, because you don't see things with your conditioned mind, with your conditioning, with your delusion, with your greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why acting according to memory, which is your conditioning and your views and opinion, is not acting at all, because this one full of delusion, the evil roots. That's why you have to act with wisdom. You don't act according to memory. Yeah. So meditation becomes very simple when you understand. That way you can see things as they are. You understand the truth, the reality. That's how you develop wisdom. Okay? So we finish. Yeah? Then after that, you have this four support for meditation. When you understand the real meditation, which is awareness-based, not thought-based, you only need this four things. Relax into every mind state that arises. Don't try to know, just relax. Maintain awareness. The second one, aware. Then 24-hour. Two meaning, 24-hour awareness, ever mindful you can develop. Initially, it's during your waking moment, then later into your sleeping moment. Then 24-hour cultivating the way for power. The last one is trust, no thought, completely no thought. Allow your nature to develop the meditation. Imagine your body is dead, cannot respond. And then the nature will do. But you have to reach your, what they call, gateway. Don't be too eager to do this one. This one you cannot do until you have the wisdom to touch your gateway, your true nature, your true mind. When you are very stable, then you can do that trust. Then when you have that, you will like, the best posture is lying down, the most relaxed. You will find out on your own. Any other posture is not relaxed on. You know how to relax also, you know it's not relaxed enough compared to lying down. That's why when the Buddha want to die, parinibbana, he lie down. Yeah, that is a lying down posture. Mm. Then, the last one is, wisdom can only come about via the direct seeing, the silent mind, in pure awareness without thought. Once there is thought, there is no wisdom. Because the Dhamma that you try to realize is beyond thought, beyond mind. Then the last one is the Buddha's advice before his passing away, his parinibbana. He always tell the monk, apamadena sampadeta. The meaning is, strive on with heedfulness. So you better heed the advice of the Buddha. The moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. Dhammapada verse confirm everything. So, not that difficult, and I only have to train the mind to be heedful. That's it. Very easy. Correct? Huh? So why are you worrying? Huh? Oh, that's still very difficult. Very God difficult. To be heedful is not so difficult. Actually, it's very easy. Huh? Especially this life. Huh? Then if you want to understand more about the Buddha Dharma or essential teaching, this seminar paper that I gave in Bangkok in the year August 2013 is also very good. That's like 2013, all these books were ready. You know. That's like 2014, Kayamita progress very fast. Then after that, 2015 is even more powerful. When this book, 2015, we got this book, Green Book, Who Are You, What Are You? Then Samatha Vipassana, Sabha Asavak Sutta. Then to complement this book is our coming book, Emptiness, based on a talk that I delivered in Klang. So you can read them, you become so beautiful, so complete. Wow, almost 10:30, yeah? 3 more minutes. Okay, we cover everything. Huh? So this way of sharing easier to understand. Last time you all came later on, a lot of you all, unless you have your Dhamma base, you catch no ball, they are okay. You know, I refer to them only, I don't have time to explain. And today here is good. we break from Sui An's place. Because Sui An's place I teach for 6 over years already. The higher being, the non-human, they don't want to listen to this type of thing already. So here one different, here we start again. That's why those who attend benefit, but don't worry, recorded. Hopefully. I saw red light, so recorded. Got blinking or not?
No.
Huh? No blinking? Huh? Oh, come on. Oh, miss, your luck. If it's not recorded, nothing to do with me. Not meant to be. But at least you heard. But hearing is not so easy to absorb unless you are ready. Those who are ready, you will absorb very fast. That's why the art of listening, you know now. When you listen attentively. Don't even try to think or recall anything. Forget about it, just listen. Cannot understand, never mind. Just let it pass. You want to go and reflect, contemplate, go back when you listen on your own. Because this one, on the computer, you can pause. Yeah? You can pause. You know why you must pause? You listen, Bill. Sometimes, sentence by sentence, those who did the transcript, they know. The Dhamma is so beautiful. No? Sometimes before the sentence finish, they will pause it, then they write down. Then they see the meaning. No? Wow. Oh. You don't do the transcript, you'll never understand. Those who do, they know. It'll be purposeful. You all are pampered until the book given to you also don't want to read. So you ask them when they do the time. They got so much joy, and they know when this book come out, those sincere, true cultivator, they will benefit like anything. They look forward to it. But because, just like you pamper your children, everything that is given and pampered, they take for granted. Correct? No? Yeah? You ask your children to eat. Ma, I know lah. He got no time for you. Then after come down, why every day same dish? Nothing new. Complain on it. Never appreciate the mother has done all this thing for them. Then sometimes you call them. They play with their computer. They play with their handphone. Then they chat with their friends. They got no time for you. Then even you want to book them for dinner, must make appointment. Not easy. So you need to have this understanding and patience. That's why you don't train your children properly. You have to do that. But my children lucky. They know. They always try to make time and find time. And they say, okay, tonight we go. Then last time we make it a point every week, 2 days, family day. So you have to learn to develop the family unit, so that your life can be meaningful, so that each and everyone is not selfish. You have this understanding that you develop the goodness of heart to help support each other, to work towards the beautiful family unit, so that everyone is happy. Because everyone needs to contribute towards the family unit, for it to have harmony, to have love and meaning. If one of them is selfish, the whole family unit will get into trouble. If two selfish, or worse still. If one selfish and emotional, or what they call, full of anger and hatred and jealousy, lagi teruk, that family unit cannot survive. Open the mouth on it, or retaliate. Sometimes go and eat one dinner, so no peace, arguing down there, right? Then walk out. Then sometimes at home, slam the pow. Then on TV also argue. You want to see another channel, you want to see another channel, so how? Install Astro, double channel. Like the advertisement, the wife want to see this, then the mother-in-law want to see this. Then in the middle, he go and buy a third one. So all this, you have to learn the Dhamma. When you have the Dhamma, you become beautiful. you will know how to live in harmony. Then you will have noble eightfold path. You will be a blessing to all. You will have the right appropriate speech, action, and thought process. And you become really beautiful, a blessing to all. Not like before. Oh, worry about this, worry about that, argue this, argue that, panic. Nothing seems to go right. Everything also like, ayo, how come my family like that? How come my children like that? Then you blame. Maybe the easiest to blame is God. Why God so unfair? God say, choy le tung ngong, you don't believe me. You believe me, at least you got a reason to blame me. Then sometimes you don't understand that so-called God also created by thought. Like last time I share the Tibetan nun. It's an English lady, I think, Tuttum children. Remember? I like her joke. People ask her, why are you Christian? Become Buddhist nun? It's a very good question. I was a staunch Christian. I came from a Christian family. But as she grew up, she said, as she studied more about Christianity, she said, because she was a science student, she said, what type of story is there? God created the world in 7 days. God created day and night. He said, no meaning to her. Then all those things about God Almighty, able to do all those things. But please don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to criticize anything. This one, the word came from her, no? She said she came to an understanding now. She said, if I am given God's power, I can create a better world than God. You believe that? It's very easy there. God is almighty. Means what? You can do whatever you want in there. Then how come the world is full of suffering? War, poverty, people are born deformed. Then there are people who lie, cheat, deceive, murder, rape. What type of world is this? Understand? If God is almighty, no need to test, is there? Why make living things so miserable? Then everything is God's creation. Means God never loved his own creation. No? So he said, he became a Buddhist because Buddhist is more logical, follow science. No God. Then he add on. No? Actually, after deep understanding, she realized, it was not God who created man. It was the other way around. Man created God out of fear through their thought. Then there's another joke that I add in. Because I saw this show, Dinosaur, remember? Dinosaur. Inside there, you remember, the man and woman argue. The woman say God created the world. Then God created man. That man say that. God created man. Man is that. Then he say God created dinosaur. Then dinosaur destroy man. Then you know what the woman say or not? God created man. Man created dinosaur. Then dinosaur destroyed man. Woman ruled the world. Interesting, huh? Can follow? Woman ruled the world because God created man. Man created dinosaur. He wants to hatch the egg. Then dinosaur destroyed man. Woman ruled the world. That was a joke. So all this. Sometimes you need a little bit of humor, huh? Then the Dhamma can go in. Otherwise, everybody is also serious, too serious until any question, everybody look on the floor. Now any question, you laugh. You better end, 10:35 already. So thank you so much for coming to the Thursday class. I really rejoice with this session because it brings back good memory of the early days of teaching. not so serious. Well, that time nobody know me, so I can joke. So hopefully, you can develop better understanding through this style of sharing. If you don't mind, next one we do the 38 blessings, Mangala Sutta. That will be more interesting. So next week still here. How many weeks? Wow, 4 weeks. This place will be charged. Very good. Okay, you got any question? You got write down next Thursday. We will go through. I will allow you time to ask questions and all those things. So go back, listen to this recording. Then develop the clear understanding. Those who need the book, they are all here. It's for free distribution, printed by Dharma Friends. Never mind, she can have a set. No, we got a lot. We reprinted many. She can have another set on her own. So no need to, you read, she can have it. Then later on, when you understand, you all keep one set, you can give the other set to other people. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits with the devas. You recall to mind all of the wholesomeness. Then all of your rejoicing, your meritorious action, you listen to the Dhamma, you straighten your view, you rejoice, you pay respect, you radiate love and metta, you renew your precepts. Then now we will share merit, transfer merits. All these are meritorious and very wholesome. So we will delegate these merits to all the devas. You have the chanting book, you can turn to that page. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata Chabumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyantang Anamoditva Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabbasampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, we invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatukalena sasa sampati hetu cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rainfall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Now you can make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa divana patiya. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we now follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we can end.
They are very useful. No. You think that we got a lot. You think that a lot. Okay. Just don't worry. Yeah? We have